Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by HelloFresh. Do you feel like you are stuck in a dinner rut? With HelloFresh, you get fresh, pre-measured ingredients with mouth-watering seasonal recipes delivered right to your door. Skip all those trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. You can now enjoy cooking and get dinner on the table in 30 minutes or less. With over 25 recipes to choose from each week, there is something for everyone to enjoy. All recipes are designed and tested by professional chefs and nutritional experts to ensure both deliciousness and simplicity. As y'all know, my husband and I have been getting HelloFresh for months. And this week, we are absolutely obsessed with the chicken biscuit pot pie and as well as the lemon cream chicken cutlets. Both of them are delicious. Go to the link in our show notes to get $80 off, including free shipping on HelloFresh, the number one meal kit.
An unsolved crime is a crime in which the trail has run cold. The investigation cannot move forward without uncovering more evidence.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Down the Rabbit Holes podcast. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Amy. And do you know what today is? Of course you do.
I do. It's episode 100.
Wow.
Isn't that bonkers?
When you think about the number 100, it is insane to me. We decided to do something a little bit different today. And I'm going to let Melissa tell you everything because it was really her idea.
Okay. So I actually won't say this was all of my idea. Amy started talking about a month ago about what we're going to do for episode 100. And are we going to try to do a two-person case? Are we going to just doing something a little bit different? And then because Amy and I are both super sensitive, we didn't want to make a big deal of a missing person and have it be weighted more than a other missing person. Like, they're all equal in our mind, right?
Absolutely.
So take an episode and said, okay, we're going to make this one a big deal. We didn't feel like that was fair.
Right.
So what we're going to do today, this is Amy's idea, is we're going to essentially give you what we give Patreon, which is anything unsolved other than a missing person, right?
Yeah. So here's a taste.
Yes. We debated what we were going to do, but this case actually, I saw somewhere in my notes that it's, think about the Lake Oconee murders.
No, Melissa, I swear when you told me the names, I said, it's a couple. I hope it's something like that because my mind still is all sorts of confused about that case and I perseverate on it.
Okay, well, think of that smushed together with Lindsay Buziak.
Oh, no. No. That's a hard no.
And that's where I think this case ends up.
Oh, my gosh. And unbelievable.
Are you ready? You want to just do it?
Been ready for days.
Okay. This is one of those cases where perspective really matters. Like, you read one thing and you're like, oh, dang. And then another and you're like, oh, well, that totally makes sense. Never mind. And I'll give you an example of when I get to one. But as I've texted you, I read a book for this case.
Yes.
Let's talk about Barry and Honey Sherman, known as the Billionaire Murders.
Wow. Okay, guys. Buckle up.
Now, I want to say that
The majority of this case focuses on Barry, and it's because once we get into their relationship, you'll understand more. But if anyone was making waves, it was him.
Okay.
Okay. So Barry was born in the 40s. He's super smart. He actually met a childhood friend, and they stayed friends and went into business together years later. And we'll get to that in a second. But his uncle owned Empire Laboratories, which was a Canadian pharmaceutical company in Toronto. Barry actually lived there and helped in the summers before getting, like, his master's and graduate degree at MIT. And, like, he is super educated.
Mm-hmm.
But in summers, he always went back and worked for his uncle. And in 1965, his aunt was diagnosed with cancer. So for the summer, his uncle went on a family vacation to, like, spend time with the family. She had been diagnosed. Like, they all took off. And in, I think it was in a book or maybe in something else I read, at the same time, something was happening with business. So Barry, like, took it upon himself and made some decisions and ended up growing the business and being super profitable.
Okay.
So he was, like, all in, right? Suddenly, November of 1965, his uncle passes away.
Not the aunt that had cancer?
17 days later, the aunt passes away.
Oh, no.
They have four little kids. And in the book, they address the fact that, like, people were like, well, why didn't Barry step up and take care of the kids? He was, like, 24.
Yeah.
And not ready to take in a family?
I get that. Big responsibility.
Either way, he goes to the estate and he says, I want to buy the company. And at this time, the company is, like, at the top of their game. And the state's like, yeah, you're going to pay a lot more money than you're offering.
Mm-hmm.
He just goes away. He finishes his degree at MIT. He does all the things. And the company starts declining because they didn't have great management in place.
Okay.
So Barry and now his childhood best friend, Joel, come back together, right? They put together more money and they say, hey, we want to buy this business. We'll take on all the liabilities. We think we can do something with it. And we'll offer, when each of his kids turn 21, they have an option to buy 5% of the company. And they will have a royalty on the products to be paid at 21. I mean, as long as the company is still in business and they own it and all of that.
The American dream.
So they do. They buy it. And his four cousins, essentially, they call them the Winter Cousins, you'll hear about them later, are little kids at this point, but they know that as long as Barry is successful and keeps the company and all of that, they'll get part of it. In 1970, Barry meets Honey, and this is it. Like, they get married a year later, they start their family, they are, like, building an empire. They have four kids, a son and three daughters. In 1974, Barry and Joel sell Empire Laboratories and launch Apotex. Now, I just want to give you an idea. Apotex is the largest producer of generic drugs in Canada, and annual sales exceed over $1 billion.
Oh, so pocket change, right?
Yeah, just a small little side business, you know?
Mm.
This is in 74. For the next 40-something years, Barry and Honey build an empire. They raise their kids. They become grandparents. They give generously to the community. With the exception of their house, they actually live pretty modestly. Like, they drive 10-year-old cars. But they built a 12,000-square-foot estate.
If you're going to put your money somewhere, I guess, why not your house?
It has multiple floors. It has a pool. It has a gym. It has, you know, everything you could want.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm picturing tennis courts and pools and...
Exactly. So they spent... They built this property in 1985. They spent $2.3 million to build it.
Another couple of pennies?
But they sued the designer and builders for, like, bad business practices and won $2 million back.
So they, in essence, got a house for free.
$300,000.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I know. But a 12,000 square foot literally all they did is build their empire. Like, yes, they gave tons to the community. Yes, they raised their children. But there's nothing aside from legal actions, which I'll talk to later, in the next 40 years happened. Then we get to December of 2017.
Oh my goodness, this is recent?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Honey convinces Barry that they should sell their house and move to Forest Hill. It's where their grandkids live. It's where they can retire there. Eventually, Barry's like, whatever, I agree, fine. He's listed home for sale. Oh, for $7 million, by the way. And they hire architects to design their new home. Because why would they buy one? You have to build one, obviously.
Hey, it sounds like he worked really hard, so...
I was going to say, I mean, he worked for his money. And they had a realtor that they had a great long-term friendship with, Judy Gottlieb, who was assisting with the whole, like, sale, purchase, design, all the things.
Mm-hmm.
December 13th, 2017. A totally normal day. Barry works. Honey does things around the house to prepare for Hanukkah. However, in the late afternoon, Honey went to Apotex because they were bringing in the design firm and the architects for a drawing meeting for the house. It was easier for Barry just to meet at his offices because he runs them.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, Barry is 75 and Honey is 70 at this point. But they're just... You would never know that. They meet with a design firm and Honey leaves around 5. Barry says he's going to work a little later and be home after. Jack Kay was Barry's right-hand man, and he emailed Barry around 6 p.m. Barry didn't respond, but at 8:23, Barry did respond. Now, at 6:21, Honey made a phone call to a friend, and they chatted for a few minutes. And that was sort of how the evening ended. The next day, December 14th, Judy, their realtor, had called and emailed that they had a couple interested in the home, and they wanted to come the next day for a showing. Now, she didn't get a response, but she knew the Shermans for years, and she was like, we're just going to do the showing anyway. They'll be fine.
Okay. I get that.
Yeah. So, Friday, December 15th. Here's the difference in a household that is of average means and then this kind of a household.
Got it. Ready for
Friday it. Friday morning, 8:30 a.m., the housekeeper, the person who waters the plants, and the personal trainer all show up. Wow. They're there for their normal weekly visits. The housekeeper let the personal trainer in. She worked out on Fridays with them. The plant waterer and the housekeeper basically were busy, and the personal trainer just kind of sat in the kitchen waiting for Barry.
Yeah, what else are you supposed to do?
Right, like who's she going to train? The housekeeper said that the bed was made and the sink was dry, which is not normal because on housekeeping day, they typically don't. She says they don't clean, but what I think is they don't do things like make their bed or wipe down sinks because their cleaning person is coming in right after.
Well, right. It's similar to a hotel room. Like, you leave your stuff undone so you know, or it's like a signal that it's time to change the sheets.
Right.
Or, like, take the towels or whatever.
Exactly. The housekeeper said the master bedroom was the bed was made and the sink was dry, which is unusual, but not the end of the world.
I appreciate that attention to detail, though, because a bed is one thing, but noticing a sink is dry, I don't know if I would notice.
Yeah, that's a great point. I don't know that I would either. But the trainer says, well, so the housekeeper kind of alludes, like, maybe they both left to go run an errand or something.
Yeah.
And the trainer's like, well, her 2007 Lexus is in the driveway. And they're like, well, I don't know. Okay. A furnace cleaner comes to clean the furnace. And I mean, at this point, you have to assume, at least I do, all these people, the housekeeper probably manages the house more than just picks up.
Sure.
And she's like, okay, the plant waterer, the furnace person, like, she's in charge of, like, amassing the people.
Yes, and you need a crew to take care of the extensive grounds.
For sure. At 10:45, 10:50, two real estate agents come and the couple that's purchasing interested in the house. Now, Judy's actually in Florida, But another agent, Elise, comes in her place. They tour the whole house. The housekeeper lets them in. They do the whole thing. Now, as you know, it's 12,000 square feet. It's not like this takes 5 minutes to tour. They go from room to room. They're showing all the... There's nothing out of order with the exception of a cell phone in one of the bathrooms. And the house... She kind of hands it to the housekeeper or tells the housekeeper. I'm not sure which one. And the housekeeper says, oh, it's Honey's. So Elise keeps the tour going, you know, walks through. They go to the master bedroom, the kitchen, and then they want to show off the pool, right?
Yep.
Because, duh, it's an indoor pool in Canada. Like, I can't imagine that's not something that people would want. She goes first. She opens the door to the pool. What room? By room, I mean, like, huge, massive room, right? She sticks her head in. And at the other end of the room, with their backs to the pool, she sees two people sitting with something around their neck being held up.
Oh.
So she says that she initially thought it was some sort of weird yoga. But either way, she whips her around and she's like, nope, this part of the house is closed. Sorry. Shuts the door behind her. And then she quickly wraps up the tour. Elise's, I have my notes, basically. She's like, get the hell out. Go, 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 go. What are you going to do?
Yeah, and it was more shocking to me when I forgot this was a Patreon-like episode.
Yes. So there are bodies. So then, Amy, ready?
No.
She tells the housekeeper what she saw and says, can you go look?
Not can you call 911, can you go look?
Right.
Okay.
I wrote in my notes, heck no. But the housekeeper says, okay, and she comes back shaking.
But I get it, because it's kind of like, am I out of my mind? Did I see something and interpret it the wrong way?
Well, wait. So then Elise, the realtor, makes a phone call. She doesn't call the police. She calls Honey's sister, who says, call the police, which, no kidding.
Okay, so that I don't really understand.
She doesn't. She calls Judy. But the housekeeper calls 911.
Thank goodness.
And basically she can be heard yelling like, they are dead. They are dead. 911 call comes in at 11:43, nearly an hour after they arrived.
Wow.
Police were en route, though, at 11:44. Mind you, they live in a super rich neighborhood in a rich house. It's a big deal. And Apotex is a billion-dollar company, the biggest one in Canada.
Yeah.
So people know him. Toronto EMS told the newspaper that they sent two paramedic crews, a supervisor, and the police, because they didn't know what they were going into. Officers arrive, and they discover Barry and Honey. They are fully clothed in the basement, like we said, by the pool, in a semi-seated position, which makes me think that, like, they're leaning either way, but being held up by black belts that are attached to a railing.
So almost as if, like, you were standing, but if you passed, you would be...
No. They were literally sitting, and they had to have been placed there while they were sitting.
Oh.
And their jackets are slid down, but on them, as if to, like, hold their shoulders in place.
Oh. This sounds... Not that murder is a kind thing, but this sounds very mean.
Okay, well, don't worry. Here it comes. Police determine that this is suspicious. That's literally what they say.
Oh, thank you.
So they don't move anything at the scene until the forensic unit gets there, which, great.
Fabulous. Love it.
Yes. Now, homicide detectives did attend the scene. And at this point, the media is, like, swarming, right? Because it's Apotex's owner, and it's their house, and it's a mansion, it's a good neighborhood.
Okay.
Detective Brandon Price of the Homicide Squad and another officer make a statement. Are you ready for this one?
I sense that... Okay, go on.
There are no signs of forced entry, and no suspects are being sought. The circumstances of the death appear suspicious, and we are treating it as such. What do you read from that?
I understand the whole not having a suspect thing, like 5 seconds into an investigation.
No. They said no suspects are being sought. Like, they're not looking into suspects. There are no suspects.
I don't take it that way, though.
That's exactly what they meant, though, but I'm telling you.
Oh, okay. Then I take that as an insult.
Well, the next day, the numerous media outlets... So now we're on Saturday, December 16th. Numerous media outlets quote police saying, Barry strangled Honey and then committed suicide. And that's a direct quote. I would say died by suicide, but I just want to...
Gotcha. Thank you for clarifying that.
And that explains the statement on Friday, which is suspects are not being sought.
How would you even accomplish that?
Well, let me tell you this. The family asks that same question. When the Toronto Star reported it, the family literally lost their mind, and I'm going to read you part of their statement. We are shocked and think it's very irresponsible that the police sources have revised the media of a theory which neither their friends, their family, or their colleagues believe is true. We urge the Toronto police to conduct a thorough, intensive, and objective criminal investigation and urge the media to refrain from further reporting as to the causes of this tragic deaths until the investigation is completed.
So that's my second question is, what supports the idea that Barry would have wanted this?
Sure. I'm actually going to ask you to explain something. When they did the autopsy the same day, cause of death was strangulation or ligature or whatever, but the hyoid bone was not broken.
Which we know that it breaks a lot of times in a strangulation, but it wouldn't be impossible for it not to break.
Right. Agreed. Now that was December 16th. The last week in January, nearly 6 weeks later, the Toronto Star basically publishes an article saying a second set of autopsies determined it was a double murder, which, no kidding. The officer commented, oh, yes, we already know that, and we think it's a double murder. Well, no kidding.
It's not what you said before, but okay.
Exactly. Then they went on to say there was no domestic-related incident, and that was that.
So now we're changing gears, finally.
Right. Finally. But, I mean, there are shows, right, called The First 48.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
About the first 48 hours.
Yes, basically alluding to the fact that that's the most important part of the investigation, and if you don't have some solid footing after those first 48, there is a statistic, but a case becomes X amount of times or percentage more difficult to solve and then convict.
Yes. And now we're 6 weeks behind.
Yes.
So police obviously do the investigation, right? And where do you start? Well, in my opinion, and in their opinion, you look at a couple things. Upon their deaths, Barry and Sherman held $67 million in property, $1.8 million in real estate. Honey Sherman had $45 million in property. I mean, they were rich, right? So you go look at money, right? Is money in? You pull the bank?
Well, absolutely. But then the question becomes, who would have access to the money? Because you can certainly harm someone for money, but that doesn't mean you're going to get it or can get it.
Yes. Agreed. So obviously they investigate the kids. Then they start looking and they realize that Barry is very litigious. And what I mean by that is he is a gunslinger, will pay for lawyers. And for him, it's not about the money. It's about the principle of things. So he will sue any and everyone, and he will fight every lawsuit. And I think that, like, people, so I'm going to give you an example. The story about him cutting his cousins out of his uncle's fortune, because they sold the company, right? So they didn't get 5% of anything.
Okay, fair, yep.
It's all portrayed as, like, he purposely cut his cousins out and blah, 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 blah. Well, in the book I read, the company was going under and the cousins would have gotten nothing. So Barry wrote a check for the company and gave them that, and then said they can have more if I keep the company, which he didn't.
Right.
So it wasn't. So anyway, The cousins sued Barry for 20%, 5% each, of his new company.
I don't see how that went anywhere. Did it?
Nope, it didn't. They lost. So instead of just giving it up, though, Barry sued them back for his legal fees.
So basically what you're saying is he's like kind of a moral businessman that ethically do right kind of thing.
Not only that, I think it's more like he was almost, I don't want to say narcissistic because that's not the right word. I would say he's almost like aggressive to the point where he was like, you aren't going to wrong me.
Yeah, that's it. That feels like it fits.
Yeah.
Especially when I'm being kind to you.
Exactly. Carrie Winter, who is like the spokesperson of these cousins, then says, are you ready for this?
There's more? Okay.
In an interview, he says he had spoken to his psychiatrist about fantasies of killing Barry. He tells the media this. This is not a secret. I'd be hiding behind a car, and when he came out of work, I would decapitate him.
That's a lot of anger.
Yeah, he also, though, says that Barry called him in the 90s and said, I want you to kill my wife. He took a lie detector test and failed it about this story.
Okay.
But he says that it is because that like he was on drugs and he forgot, and I don't really know. And it was true, though.
Okay.
Then when he was questioned about this murder, he says, I don't have an alibi. It was very easy for me to have left work at any time because I'm not on the clock. I could have easily driven over to his house and did the deed. I admit to that, but I didn't, and that's why I'm not scared.
Hmm.
Okay.
So 2017, surveillance, Ring doorbells are in...
Nothing.
A lot of people can possess them now. Do they have this?
No.
Oh.
I guess I'll get right to that in 1 second. There's a couple things, people that have come, that have been like, I guess, looked into that guy, the Winter Brothers. His son, Jonathan, had been getting a lot of money. And I'm not talking like hundreds of thousands. I'm talking like millions of dollars from Barry. And Ben and Honey had been saying like, stop. He's an adult. Make him make his own money now. And
gosh, he has enough to invest in something.
Well, he did keep investing and losing money.
So he needs some guidance in investing.
Either way, there's that. There's a guy named Frank D'Angelo who him and Barry went back and forth in the courtrooms longer and longer. I mean, there's a lot of individual. Apotex got sued all the time by Big Pharma because what they did was make generic drugs. So they would take expensive ones and make them for cheaper, right? So Big Pharma all hated their company.
Yeah.
So then by October of 2018, police obtained 37 warrants.
A lot of warrants.
And they collected 2,000 hours of video surveillance from neighbors.
Okay.
Yeah, then on April 25th of 2019, police said they have a working theory.
Good job.
Then, are you ready for this? On November 25th of 2020, police said they have a person of interest. But then 2 days later said it could be one or multiple persons of interest. And that's where we end up.
Okay. It makes me feel bad, even more bad for Ebby's family in the Patreon we did where her mom wanted the police to look through Walmart footage with her and they wouldn't. And they went through hundreds of hours of neighbors footage.
Yeah, it's money. It's the priority. It's the
right. Anyway, November is the last thing we've heard about this case, right?
Yes. And that's November of like not even a year ago.
Right.
But that's it.
There's got to be a ton of theories.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a million theories. There is Jonathan did it. There is a stranger did it. There's someone that saw the house with the realtor did it. It could have been the realtor herself that did it because they didn't call 911 right away. It's someone for the company. It's someone for, I mean, Amy, the theories on this one are unlimited. Because we're talking a billionaire, well, not just a millionaire.
I get it. But I can't. I feel like I can knock a couple off right now.
Okay, go for it.
Well, definitely not murder-suicide.
Yes, 300%. When I first read that, I was like, say what? They were in the same position.
Yeah, I don't even understand how you can accomplish that. Then I feel like it's slim that someone would come across them randomly and kill them like that for a couple of reasons. So you're going to take a chance. I mean, this millionaire house doesn't have surveillance. No robbery, nothing's disturbed. So you're not there to try and steal something. You're not killing them because you're entitled to any money coming to you, right? Because that's not how that works. And if you were really doing it just to be malicious, wouldn't you just honestly shoot them?
Yes. Okay, so I just sent you a picture of a couple statues that were life-size and in the Sherman's house. And I want you to see how they're posed. Because that's exactly how their bodies were posed.
Oh my God, this got a little bit more sinister.
Yeah. But there's no, like, good head-on picture.
Fascinating.
It's just one of those weird things that, like, I think you have to think about, I guess.
So this person was either at the house previously or had walked around, looked around before killing Barry and Honey.
Yes. And, okay, let's do this. Let's start with very... Do you see why this is like the Lake Oconee murders for me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's start with this. When you think it happened? We have a 3-day or 48-hour window or whatever.
Why don't we have a time of death?
Oh, sorry, I should have told you about that. The pool room is heated, and the moisture in there, and the chlorine in the room, it's really hard to determine time of death because of the humidity and the moisture. So we're forced to look at the facts, right? Wednesday was the last time they were seen or talked to. So my gut is it happened on Wednesday.
My gut, I was going to say that evening.
Yeah, exactly.
Because most people would have to be really bold to do it during the day with the possibility of people visiting, calling, etc. And just the idea of daylight makes you more visible. So this is someone that was bold at night.
Okay, but look at Lindsay Buziak. They walked out the front door after killing her, or were going to.
But that wasn't their house.
Okay. So I agree with you, though. Wednesday night is likely the night. Beyond that, though, like, I literally have no thoughts. I mean, okay, take that back. There's no signs of forced entry. So they have to at least be acquaintances.
So someone shows up on Wednesday night.
Well, I have to think it's someone that showed up because police have cell phone records. And their cell phones. If it was someone that was arranging to come, do you think that police would know that?
Do either of them smoke or anything?
No.
Okay.
Not that I know of. Why?
I think if someone stepping outside, I doubt anyone would smoke in this beautiful home. So I think of stepping outside for a cigar, cigarettes.
Yeah, it's December in Canada too, though. It's cold. Like, there were footsteps in the snow and stuff. But they were trampled over by everyone else at the house and there's no way to know.
I see. Oh, that kills me.
Right?
So they either came unexpected or they knew that a door was unlocked or a window and went in. And it just seems more plausible that they showed up unannounced.
I would guess that because I feel like I said before, if it was someone that came in and they had made plans to come in, wouldn't we know that?
Yes.
Like, wouldn't police say?
Yes.
I don't know.
If you showed up, though, you'd have to make sure both were in the same room because you can't try to subdue one and then go look for the other person. Well, you could bring that person along, but it gives the person an opportunity to scream or something, and then the other person can call 911.
Honey's face had some damage to it, and it says damage. I don't know what that means, but Barry had nothing.
My immediate thought was that really you might do that to hurt Barry, for him to watch his wife. You know, you could hurt Barry and Barry might do nothing, but the ultimate payback is to make him suffer and watch something sinister, right?
Right. Yes, I agree with that statement.
I mean, I never thought Honey would be the person that was primarily targeted anyway.
And that's sort of why this focuses on Barry. He is the head of a billion-dollar big pharma organization, right? He is the person that is willing to sue and be sued left and right. He is very adversarial, not necessarily in a bad way, but in a good way.
Right. Okay, well, what were you going to say after telling me about the condition of Honey?
Nothing except for, there was no damage because, like I said, there was damage to her face, that's it. Which is what police initially thought was the reason for murder-suicide. I mean, we both know that's not what happened. But there are a lot of people saying that, like, the business is involved and this... I mean, I'll tell you this. I 100% think it's money-related. I just don't know what.
Or someone's had anger for so long that it isn't really about money anymore. It's being, in their eyes, screwed. So I'm just going to make you suffer and kill you.
Yeah, and I mean, and like, yes, there are things about like it's a professional hit. But then I'm like, yeah, but the bodies were staged. They didn't die in that position. Well, I mean, they did, but I mean, to put them with a belt, you know what I mean?
Right. So you would suspect that a hitman wouldn't go through all that drama. They would just do the job and leave because there's no reason. You know, they're already someone that can't be traced back to them.
Yeah. I mean,
I want to know about those statues, though, because what's the history of what they mean or the significance of the statues?
Yeah, I don't know. There's nothing about them. That's actually a armchair detective theory. Like, no media talks about that. Mm.
This is one with way too many possibilities.
And that's why, you know, we talk about, you know, how Patreon, we do meetups. And this is one that I'd like to hear about because I'm like, I don't even know where to start. Like, there are theories about how it could be a drug competitor. And in my head, I'm like, so they're just going to kill him? Like, do they know the company is going to keep making the drugs?
Correct. Yes. A company is not really comprised of just one person.
And even if, like, he held the patent or something, it would still be him. You know, like, I just don't understand the logic behind it being a big pharma murder.
Right. I'm inclined to agree with that.
I think it has to be at least semi-personal. Oh, and I do want to make a point that they have gone international to get leads. I don't know what that means. I don't know if it means United States. I don't mean... In one article, it says across the pond, which means it's England, which I don't know what that means. Like, I don't know what to do with that.
Wow. I guess I don't feel like it goes up that far, like another competitor. I feel like it's down a few notches with family or a small company that's been sued or something along those lines, you know?
And what, Barry is just like the face of who sued him?
Well, yes, especially if it technically was Barry. I mean, I don't know how many lawsuits he was involved in, but, you know, when you think of the situation with his house, which happened many years, actually, before the murder. So I'm not necessarily connecting those, but...
30-something.
You take a small company, a smaller company like that, that's a pretty big hit.
I'll agree, 100%.
How many other companies like that took hits? You know, that's kind of my point.
And I agree with you. Like, I really agree with you that it's... It's likely financially motivated, and it could be personal to the point where, I don't mean personal in that like someone in his personal circle, I mean someone that feels personally wronged.
Yes, yeah, exactly. I do too. And it stops being about money, even though if that was the primary thing that kicked whatever off, but it really, I think, turned into just anger and hatred.
Well, that's, okay, so you just verbatim read a Reddit thread.
Oh.
One of the threads say the leading theory is it's a hit by Big Pharma, okay? Which I don't know. I don't know that whole world. But then someone said, it looks like a hit, but it will resolve itself to be another murder within family, hard feelings, and jealousy. And then someone else wrote, killing a CEO doesn't make a company disappear.
Right.
Exactly what we were saying. But one of the big things, let me break it down. Theories fall into I don't even know how many categories I'm going to go through. Big Pharma, a family member, someone that was wronged, or random foul play.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of is the breakdown. In my heart, I rule out Big Pharma. What are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. I feel like there's so many other ways to destroy a company.
Okay.
Bankrupt them, sue them, litigation, all of that
stuff. But
he'll
sue back, keep that in mind, too.
Well, fair.
Yeah, so Big Pharma, I rule that out. Random foul play, I also rule that out. I think that this person had to know the house wasn't decked out with the highest security features. We're in 2017 and they're a billionaire.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
So I think that the fact that they felt comfortable going into the house makes it not a random foul play.
Mm-hmm.
Which leaves me on a family member or on someone that was wrong professionally.
Right. I know we should be narrowing this down so much more, but I don't think I can get any more.
No, I agree with you.
Down to it.
I think what's so frustrating is police have gone from murder-suicide to, oh, it's double murder. To, we have a working theory. To, we may have one or two or more suspects.
To over the pond.
Which, but that none of that actually gives any information.
Correct.
So now we're like, oh, okay, cool. Like, so November of 2020, you may have one or two or whatever persons of interest. We're almost a year later. What is happening now?
I don't know. Jeez. This is a tough one. And I think you hit the nail on the head with the Lego Coney murders and Lindsay Buziak. I don't know if you want to call them vibes, but yeah.
Yeah. It's okay. So we have very much like both of them. We have no suspects. We have no anything. We have, you know, a bunch of coverage in the media because they're billionaires that were murdered. But beyond that.
Well, do you want to open it up?
Yeah, let's do it. Tell us what you think, how you feel. We'd love to know your thoughts. I know what I read a book, guys. I know there's a lot more out there, but these are the sort of highlights. I'd love to know your thoughts, your theories. If you want to listen to more like this or listen to our episodes ad-free, you can always join Patreon. But if not, we're welcome to have you. We love having you here. Happy 100.
Yes, and thank every single one of you that gave us a shot.
Yes.
And continue to listen and support us and say really kind, awesome things that make us feel so welcome here.
And I was just going to say, I guess this is a time we probably should say, like, hey, we really are not good at promoting ourselves. Follow us on social media, on Instagram, Facebook. We're Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast. We would love a 5-star Apple review. Either just 5 stars or 5 stars and some nice words. We read them all. And if not, we'll be back next week with a whole new case.
All right, guys.
Bye.
For more information about this case and other cases we've covered, visit our website at www.downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Follow us and interact with us on social media. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast. You can also reach out to us via email at theories@downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast is a 2002 production written, hosted, and developed by Amy Lamar and Melissa Benitez. Music by Kevin Wyman. Audio production by Amy Lamar.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.